The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. It's great to be with you here on another beautiful morning at Edmond, Oklahoma, our headquarters campus, our headquarters studio. Lots to get to on today's show. Of course, we'll be talking a fair bit here in the first segment about Celtic Throne. They had the premiere last night. I'm wearing the T-shirt. Lots of exciting things to report there. Excellent feedback coming from all over the world. I'll have some sound bites to that end as well. First, I just want to say a couple of things about the program over in the UK. We ran the Mystery of the Ages repeat for the 20-something time, 21, 22 maybe, brought in 217 responses, of course, over 200, it seems, every time that we run that program, a repeat from back in 2015, so one in which I assume I look quite a lot younger. In any event, 217, and really the one before that on The Spirit of a Sound Mind, that brought in 176 requests for literature as well. So some good numbers coming in from the UK. Well, the premiere event, as I said last week, the opening show is now over, and we've got the crew. Many of them left last night. The stage crew, as they headed out to Branson, loading up the truck and all of the equipment that we're taking over to Branson with us. And quite a few of the performers will be heading out this morning, and we'll be heading out this afternoon as well. But an exciting show all the way around yesterday, and quite a few emails. This one came from Trinidad. We had people, by the way, listening in or watching the program live in Australia as early as 3 a.m. in the morning. They were watching it together at Edstone at 8 p.m. last night. The live show here, of course, was at 2 p.m. So quite a few of our members were watching the live event. And of course, for many of you trumpet readers, there's a live event planned for this next Sunday, July 5th, and that's open to anyone. And you can log in, or rather sign up for that, at the trumpet.com website. But this feedback from Trinidad, it says, I just wanted to write in and say how much I enjoyed the Celtic Throne performance today. 13 of us gathered to watch it on the big screen. It was mind-blowing. It gave goosebumps to all of us. Truly spectacular. Wow, wow, and wow, they say. Another one here says, wow, this is seriously a professional production. Great choreography and beautiful Celtic music. Just loving this. And this one here comes in from Washington. They watched it over there, I think, at 12 noon, right in the middle of Sunday afternoon. It says here, what a show. Watching the Celtic Throne yesterday was like watching Lord of the Dance for the first time back in the early 1990s, but only better because we know these performers personally. And many pointed this out over the weekend as well. That was one of the delights, is just watching so many of these older teenagers or young adults and knowing that they've been at this for, in some cases, 10 or 12 years. And we've seen them grow up. We've seen them mature and develop over the years. In fact, they had this spotlight or this feature on the local channel. It was on Friday evening. I think they might have played it through the weekend. And they had interviewed my son about, I think it was 8 years ago, when he came back from his first world championship competition. And so in this feature, they flash back to when he was just 10 years old, and then they plug Celtic Throne along the way as well. This is clip number 9.
Piano lessons, Little League, ballet, the list of kids' activities that kids eventually quit is pretty long.
Yeah, but once in a while, a kid will stick to something with spectacular results. Tonight, Galen Culver has a follow-up story he shot with a young Irish dancer who never quit.
The new show is called Celtic Throne. And the first performer you see on the stage at the Armstrong Auditorium is an Irish dancer we actually know pretty well. His name is Jude Fleury. He's 18 now, but we first met him as a 10-year-old.
He's yourself, she's
already one of the best Irish dancers in the world.
I think I've improved quite a bit since doing that. I mean, it's not always easy.
It wasn't long after we visited that the Fleurys moved to England, which was a pretty good thing as far as Irish dance was concerned. The Edmund studio where Jude took lessons eventually closed. He moved close to one of the best schools in the world.
I think I would have hit a ceiling and just stopped eventually. So I'm really glad that I was able to carry on in the UK.
Celtic Throne follows what the title says is the royal journey of Irish dance from the Near East to Ireland, then Scotland and the US. Jude's journey as a dancer took less time, but boy, are his legs tired.
It's pretty hard on the calves and obviously thighs and everything.
He'll go to college in the fall. Life as a professional dancer seems remote even to him. But his own epic journey, he says, has been worth every quick step. In Edmund, Galen Culver, News 4. Is this a great state or what?
Well, as you heard, Celtic Throne is the name of the show.
And it's staging at the Armstrong Auditorium in Edmund starting tomorrow night.
So that's from the local channel here, KFOR, Channel 4. Interviewing my son there 8 years ago, and now all of these dancers you can see in those highlights, so many of them have, well, they're moving on to college in some cases. Some of them are in college now. An incredible effort, a collaborative effort for so many people. The music we've talked about, Brian Byrne composing so much of that. Ryan Malone, of course, our very own Ryan Malone, who composed a fair bit of the music in this production as well. Mark Jenkins also contributed. And we just have so many different people, as you saw yesterday on the live feed. It's just got so much variety and the flow from start to finish. It just has a beautiful flow to it. Another one here, one that saw it yesterday, it says, I've just had the honor of watching Celtic Throne, and I had to email to say thank you for providing us with such an inspiring message through dance and music. It was breathtaking, each number telling the story so clearly. Congratulations to all the dancers, musicians, producers, and all involved in creating Celtic Throne. Another one here says, incredible, what a bringing together of so much talent and training right there at God's headquarters. It's almost like all of the efforts by so many over so many years, all was for this one moment. Each of you wowed us all. This one comes from the UK. It says, please accept my deepest appreciation for the wonderful program that came onto my laptop from God's house in Edmund. What a beautiful performance given by all. It brought tears to the eyes of a 78-year-old. The shows that emanate from God's house just keep getting better and better. And quite a few people tweeted out shorter responses or reactions to the show. This one here says, how did you just pull that performance off? My feet were jumping, heart thumping, adrenaline-filled show. Wow, wow, wow. Another tweet, it says, that was undoubtedly the best show Armstrong Auditorium has ever produced. Seeing the talent, dexterity, and passion from everybody was amazing. Singers with perspiration running down their cheeks from dancing. Another tweet says, well, Celtic Throne just about knocked me stone dead. I'm more emotionally spent than the dancers are physically tired. This comes from someone that was actually at the auditorium. They saw it live. It says, that has to be the best show ever. Another tweet says, well, worth the cost of the ticket. One of the best Irish dance shows I've ever seen. And the patriotic medley featuring the Malones and Mark Jenkins was amazing. So nice to live in a state that is still proud to be American. And that truly is one of the most touching scenes in the program. The medley that concludes with the three of them singing a cappella, My Country, 'Tis of Thee. And we'll have a clip of that later on today's show. One more tweet here. It says, can't say enough good about this show. Congratulations to all who helped put this together, and especially to the performers who outdid themselves today. I'm really glad I decided to preview this today. I have tickets for next Sunday. Yay, it says. It was so moving, stirring, and excellent. That was most excellent. Well, we got quite a bit of feedback, even from those that attended the show. Most of these people that you'll hear in this next clip, I don't think there's a few church members that I recognize, but I think most of them are not members of the church. And here's what David Vigil was able to gather after the program yesterday afternoon. This is clip one.
It's very good. I mean, the choreography, the dancing, the music, I love it all. I mean, we've never been here before and never seen anything like this. It's been amazing.
Absolutely fantastic.
And they look cool. Ashley, they're hot.
Enjoying it very much, yes.
I particularly enjoy the harp.
Trio of the men singing. It's very nice.
Oh, I thought it was awesome. So, and having been to Ireland and seeing the Moher Cliffs, and I'm just partial to Celtic music. So,
it was magnificent. I mean, I was into music, even the background. I like the tap dancing. Music was beautiful.
Well, we're just impressed with the, first of all, the venue, and then also the costumes are absolutely amazing, very nice, and the quality of the dancing is just excellent. We're really enjoying that part of it.
Well, it's a wonderful, wonderful venue for this, for our community, so we're thrilled to be here.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
And everything, it was better. My adrenaline's pumping so hard right now, I don't even know what to say. But it was just very masculine dancing. I thought that the lightning and thunder show was very powerful. Just everything, how it tied together was wonderful. I think we're going to get tickets for next week, too.
No, I mean, overall, it's just, you know, it's a great show.
Think of a favorite part. Probably the pianos. I love I love dancing, but the pianists were awesome.
Oh, great.
Like, I wish I could dance like that.
Yeah,
even the little kids were cute.
We thought it was fantastic. It was dynamic, and I can't believe 2 hours went by.
Probably my favorite part was how, like, they could all stay in form at the exact same time and be able to have that motion done. Yeah, the timing on it.
It was very interesting on how fast it was going and how much noise it can make.
I thought it was awesome, and it's beautiful. It's like Branson-style entertainment.
It's funny you mentioned that. We're actually going to Branson tomorrow to perform the show.
They're up to it. It'll be quality entertainment.
We go home, and we've needed culture for the last 5 months. We missed culture.
It was much more spectacular and grand than I expected. I just loved the whole overall theme of it.
That was absolutely amazing. If you didn't want to dance, something's wrong. I mean, I saw that, and I wanted to jump on stage and start moving my arms and flexing my arms. I almost kicked somebody in front of me. It was amazing. I love it.
Oh, wow, the show was spectacular. One of the best ones we've seen here. And
I liked it. I really liked it myself.
Yeah, it was really cool. Really cool.
I am trying to think of a new... I'm going to make up a new word because it was just so overpowering. Emotionally draining. Just awesome.
An awesome production. It really was. And we certainly appreciate all the positive feedback that we've been giving. I love the comment there about how that we've needed this culture for the last 5 months. And as I've said before, my father's made the point over and again that this is the program, this is the show, this is the performance that the world needs right now. This is what the United States needs right now. A little bit more coming in from those that saw the production yesterday online. This from Australia. It says, my family and I have just finished watching the live stream of Celtic Throne, and we are all abuzz. There are hardly words enough to describe it, and yet so many thoughts and comments are rushing through. The production was awe-inspiring. Even though we were only watching the live stream, there was a feeling of excitement and cohesion, and you just knew that God was behind the whole thing. Please pass on our gratitude to all involved. So that's someone that I think was watching it at 5 a.m. And another one here that got up even earlier. It says here, I'm sure you're super hyped after that electrifying show. Wow, just wow. It makes me want to start up Irish dancing more than ever. Please tell everyone how exhilarating it was to watch. I didn't want it to end. Well worth getting up at 3 a.m. for. It brought joyful tears throughout the whole show. The lighting was breathtaking, the costumes gorgeous, and the music ablaze with emotion. I can't say enough good things about it. And then finally, this comes in from our producer over in the UK, Samuel. By the way, he sent me, he said, if President Trump tweeted about this program, he would have said this. And it was full of all of the Trumpisms that you can imagine. Coming from President Trump through our beloved Sam Livingston back in the UK. He says, though, in all seriousness, the performance was fantastic, exceeded expectations easily, sorely needed. Everyone is pumped. Amazing how much more relevant it is now with everything going on in America and Britain. I wonder if it would have been as impactful had all this BLM stuff not come up. I could see Satan being upset with Celtic Throne and getting into a fit of rage by launching another assault on the U.S. and Britain and prophecy, culture and history. In the end, though, those attacks have achieved the opposite of what he wanted. God's people, it says, the primary target of his rage, are probably more excited about the United States and Britain and prophecy than ever. They're probably more excited about their history. They're probably more excited about their culture than ever before. And we should be. We should be excited about our history. We should be all the more excited about our future. Our future in God's kingdom. We are spiritual Israel. And this is something to celebrate. Even in the years ahead of us, God is going to use Israel to be the model, example, and nation that he always intended it to be from the beginning. And that's going to bring blessings and prosperity and peace and law and order to the entire world. That's what God is building here. A new civilization, and it's about to be put on display for everyone to see. You can see it in the smallest of ways, in embryo, with what God is doing, with what he's building in this church, with what he's building at this college, at the academy, in our families. History, it's coming right at a time when so many people, here in the United States especially, in the UK as well, so many people are trying to blot out this history. You saw it right from the beginning of the show. A man 3,000 years ago who loved this culture, who loved this way to worship his creator through song and dance. And how that spread, that culture, that royal culture, it's spread into Ireland and Scotland and the UK and the United States. That's some glorious history. That's some history we should be proud of. That's some history we should hold on to. President Trump, by the way, was interviewed over the weekend about this movement to delete all of these statues and to change names across the country, to take items out of museums, to just blot out our history. And he's very much against that. He's one of the few who's actually standing up to the mob, who's actually speaking out. This is what he had to say yesterday, clip 3.
My message is that we have a great country. We have the greatest country on earth. We have a heritage, we have a history, and we should learn from the history. And if you don't understand your history, you will go back to it again. You will go right back to it. You have to learn. Think of it. You take away that whole era, and you're going to go back to it sometime. People won't know about it. They're going to forget about it. it's okay. Now, what I do like, I like the idea of building new statues to people, to great people, people that have done something. And I think that's okay.
Right.
But you don't want to take away our heritage and our history. And the beauty, in many cases, the beauty, the artistic beauty, some of the sculptures and some of this work is some of the great. You can go to France, you can go anywhere in the world, and you'll never see more magnificent work. And that's a factor. It's not the biggest factor, but it's a factor.
Even the beauty, even the artistry, to say nothing of the history itself, what led up to that statue being erected or that whatever it is, that artifact being put in a museum somewhere. We're to learn from it. This is the president of the United States. He's a businessman. He's been a businessman for years and years. He's not even a historian. You know, I think when you see these statues being pulled down, here we've emphasized in this church the book clubs, and we've even talked about so many of these titles from great authors. And I've wondered, as these statues are pulled down, what must these authors think? And where are they, by the way? Where are they? Why isn't Fox News or somebody tracking down these famous historians in the United States and Britain? You would think there'd be a few more out there saying, this is crazy what we're doing. I gave a message a few years ago on the importance of monuments. And look at what they're doing today. On Saturday, Princeton's president announced that they'd be removing Woodrow Wilson's name from the college. One of the presidents of the United States. Now, he wasn't a very good president. And I think many can make a pretty strong case that he did have racist views through and through. But he's a president of the United States. In our history, you know, when I was listening to President Trump there, I was thinking of 1 Corinthians 10. And Paul told the brethren of God, you remember that history. All of it there in the Old Testament, good and bad. You better remember it. You better learn from it. That's what President Trump was just saying. Here people are coming along, and they just want to blot it out. Notice what Paul said, 1 Corinthians 10:6. Now these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. And he goes and gives all these examples from the Old Testament. King David himself made mistakes. And they're recorded in there for our learning. So what are we to do? Should we delete David out of the Old Testament? Should we tear down his statue? Should we stop celebrating his culture? Should we stop dancing like David? Should we stop using the Psalms in our singing, our hymns? Well, David made a mistake. David was a warmonger. He committed adultery. Learn from this history, says God. And it takes President Trump, and no one's ever accused him of being a historian. But here is this man in his 70s who will at least step forward and say, we have to remember our history and we have to learn from it. Where are the historians? Where are the conservatives? Where are the Republicans? There's not that many of them. So down comes Woodrow Wilson. The scholars are bringing him down. Not Black Lives Matter. This is the Princeton president. He's decided that it has to come down. Just like the president of the Natural History Museum in New York. And of course, the good mayor of New York. He's in full agreement. Bring down Teddy Roosevelt. Who's next? Who's next? Who has a perfect record? Well, no one. That's the answer. Except Jesus Christ. So we pull down all of our history. And will that satisfy the mob? Will that finally make them happy? That's not even the point of this revolution. The point is to destroy the system. Just like that BLM leader said last week. He was on TV again this weekend with Chris Wallace on Fox News. Here's what, this is the Black Lives Matter leader in New York City, Hank Newsom. That's what he had to say on Sunday, clip four.
A lot of people don't understand how the streets or the people feel. I have an in-depth knowledge of this. I live in the Bronx. I live amongst the people. So it's not like I'm sitting here pushing a button, or anyone can push that button. But if people keep seeing these images of their babies, of their relatives, of black people being killed, they keep dealing with financial inequality and inequity, and it reaches a point of frustration, then people lash out. This is a matter of inevitability that people will lash out because they're feeling like they're backed into a corner.
They're just lashing out. It's inevitable. It's like, I guess you have to react this way. You have to react this way. You're backed into a corner. Black people are being murdered. Well, he's right about that. There was a little baby over the weekend in Chicago. A 20-month-old, yet another victim of a drive-by shooting, black-on-black crime, every weekend. 10, 15, 20 casualties. Dozens and dozens of people shot up. That looting, by the way, the first weekend of it, the rioting from a few weeks back, Fox News, I believe it was reporting that actually the Federalist, $400 million in damage. This is the cost, just the financial cost. And it's inevitable. You have to do it because, well, they're backed into a corner. In fact, as he said last week, it's the system that they're after. Bring down the system. 70, how about this for a headline? 70% of liberals say they want to rewrite the Constitution and the national anthem. So much for the national anthem. We got into that last week. That's racist. Needs to be rewritten. And so does the Constitution, of all things. 71% agree to this. These are among Democrats or liberals. Move after public consultation. Move to a new American anthem that better reflects our diversity as a people. This same study said that they were happy to change to a new American Constitution that better reflects the diversity of our people. A new constitution that the law, in other words, the law of the land that better reflects the diversity? 76% of liberals say they want to rebalance the art shown in museums across the country until an analysis of content shows that it reflects the demography of the population and perspective of Native people and citizens of color. This is communist infiltration through and through. Bring down the system. Erase the past. Erase the history. Today, right now, this moment, it's all that matters. Where are the conservative leaders? You have President Trump saying this is crazy. In fact, the Federalists interviewed him. I don't think this is, at least we looked for the audio. There is none. I think it's just a written interview. But evidently, he told the Federalist on Friday that Republicans need to get tougher. They need to show more courage. That was the theme of several of our programs last week. They need to have the courage to stand up to the mob. This is from the Federalist. It says the president said that to restore order and win in 2020, his Republican allies, quote, need to be stronger. Isn't that the truth? They need to be stronger in standing up to rioters and those who would tear down statues. They've got to get much tougher, President Trump said, drawing comparisons to moments when Republicans stood together on impeachment and in battles over judicial nominees. They have to be stronger. They have to come together. There's another piece at the Federalist that asks, where are conservative leaders in this moment? Where are they? Why have they done so little to defend our history? This is something they used to champion. But where are they? Well, most of them are either silent because they're afraid, they're faint-hearted, or they've just capitulated to the mob. They've given in. They've surrendered. Listen to what the Archbishop of, I got into this a little bit late, right before the program, but Sam and Richard tracked down this soundbite. This is the Archbishop of Canterbury. This is the religious leader in the UK talking about what needs to change because of the Black Lives Matter movement. This is clip 10.
Does that mean then, for instance, with statues, that rather than tearing them down, we forgive the trespasses of those whose images we look at?
Well, we can only do that if we've got justice, which means the statue needs to be put in context. Some will have to come down. Some names will have to change. I mean, the church, goodness me, you know, you just go around Canterbury Cathedral, there's monuments everywhere, or Westminster Abbey, and we're looking at all that. And some will have to come down, but yes, there can be forgiveness, but I hope and pray as we come together, but only if there's justice, if we change the way we behave now and say this was then and we learn from that and change how we're going to be in the future, internationally as well.
But that doesn't sound like forgiveness. I mean, particularly, you say you're going to be taking down statues at Canterbury Cathedral.
No, I didn't say that. I very carefully didn't say that. I said we're going to be, not least because it's not my decision. But
you're going to be looking at them.
We're going to be looking very carefully and putting them in context and seeing if they all should be there.
Just more faint-heartedness, more weakness. These iconic statues, even in places like Westminster Abbey. This is not the head of BLM in New York City. This is the Archbishop of Canterbury saying everything's under review. Well, we may have to scrub out some of the history. We may have to pull it down, even in some of our, I guess, what used to be considered sacred places of worship. Weakness. It's on display every day. And of course, the enemies sense it. That's why they're pushing so aggressively right across our nations. This Federalist piece interviewing the president, he's quoted as saying, police never get the credit they deserve by politicians who are being weak. They are being weak. Politicians, even theologians, as you just heard. It says here, Trump referred to the Black Lives Matter political organization as having an extremist agenda and criticized New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio for wanting to close Fifth Avenue to paint the group's titular slogan on the street. He wants to do, de Blasio wants to do the same thing that the mayor of D.C. did. Paint up the streets now with this movement, Black Lives Matter. President Trump's against it. Republicans need to be fighting, Trump said, citing the ideology of the more radical agitators in the streets as vicious and seditious. Where are the conservatives? Only a few have the courage to stand up to the mob. Listen to this reporter as he presses Vice President Pence, and even Vice President Pence could have been stronger in his response. But this reporter, you have to say Black Lives Matter. You just have to show support for the movement. This is clip six.
One thing protesters would like to hear is leaders say Black Lives Matter. You won't say that. Why?
All my life, I've been inspired by the example of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. When I was in Congress, I traveled to his home church in Montgomery with Congressman John Lewis. I walked across the Edmund Pettus Bridge on the anniversary of Bloody Sunday. I cherish the progress that we have made toward a more perfect union for African Americans throughout our history. And I've aspired throughout my career to be a part of that ongoing work. It's really a hard issue for me. And as a pro-life American, I also believe that all life matters, born and unborn. But what I see in the leaders of the Black Lives Matter movement is a political agenda of the radical left that would defund the police, that would
leave that out of it,
tear
just the
down
phrase.
Monuments, that would press a radical left agenda that and support calls for the kind of violence that has beset the very communities that they say that they're advocating for.
I've literally met
with African American leaders around this country and in the national capital area who made it clear to us they want law and order, they want peace in our streets.
So you won't say Black Lives Matter?
John, I really believe that all lives matter.
Okay.
It's a good thing he doesn't work for Google or Apple, because he'd probably be fired, Mike Pence. That's not even that strong of a statement. At least he didn't cave in to the pressure from the reporter. You won't say it. You've got to say it. Everybody's saying it. It's crazy. People have lost their minds. They have lost their minds. Only a few will stand up and speak the truth. You know, in this interview with Hank Newsom and Chris Wallace yesterday, to his credit, Chris Wallace, and he's a pretty liberal reporter, but to his credit, he pulled up a statement that this Black Lives Matter leader said just 2 years ago. This was in a TED Talk. 2 years ago, here's what Hank Newsom said, clip five.
Do you have love in your hearts? Do you love your neighbor? Do you believe in the Bible, the Quran? Do you believe in your religious teachings? Because I guarantee you, all of them tell you to help your neighbor.
The Bible certainly does tell us that. It tells us to love our neighbor as ourselves. It tells us to love God more than ourselves. Here is this same leader just 2 years ago. You want to talk about the spirit of hatred and rage and how strong it is. He too, evidently, just swept up into the movement. And now he's saying, if you don't give us what we want, we're going to burn your system down. What a difference. What a difference compared to just 2 years ago when he was promoting the Bible. When he was saying, if you're a Christian, then you're to love your neighbors. He's not saying that now. And neither is that movement. There's nothing in that movement. There's nothing in that mission statement about loving our neighbors, helping our community, building up our cities, reinforcing the principles of law and order. Nothing like that. Do you love your neighbor? He asked. Do you? Do they, those that were rioting through the streets, $400 million on the first weekend of damage, And people killed, too. Beaten up in the middle of the street. Beaten up outside their store. Shot in the back of the head in the case of that retired police officer trying to defend a pawn shop. Do the rioters love their neighbors? Defund the police. We should defend the police. We should defend law and order because we love our neighbors and we want our people to be safe in their communities. We want black communities to be safe so that 20-month-old babies aren't shot and killed like the little one over the weekend in Chicago. Amid all of this, you have a godly culture on display. You had it on display yesterday. It's a small beginning. A new civilization that's about to spring on this whole world. Now, in that same production, there's a couple of pieces where it also symbolizes the trouble that this world is in. This clip of Gail, this concludes the first half of the program, Celtic Throne, and it depicts the trouble that the British Empire ran into once it forgot God. This is clip two. Curtain closes, and of course, to begin the second half, you have this beautiful and colorful and uplifting display as it transitions into the United States of America, pioneers. So there is trouble in this world today, but God has answers. God has answers, and God wants us to be grounded in the truth. He wants us to be grounded in our history. He wants us to be hopeful and joyous as we anticipate our glorious future. One of the viewers from Florida wrote in yesterday, I just finished watching Celtic Throne, and I just want to take this opportunity to thank everyone who has been involved and participated in this most inspiring and uplifting musical. I can honestly say that I needed what I just witnessed. Living in the United States in this end time can be truly discouraging and burdensome. After watching Celtic Throne, it seems that all of the discouragement and negativity that has accumulated within me the past 3 months or so has disappeared. I am motivated and encouraged more than ever to fight the good fight and to reach the finish line. To see the brethren of all ages on that stage performing at such a high level and with so much enthusiasm and love for one another reminded me of how truly blessed we are to be part of God's work. What a blessing it is to be part of God's work. Another individual tweeted out, I was moved to tears by the Four Horsemen, uplifted by the medley, just what we all needed, hope. Just what we all need in these times we're living in. Hope for the future. I mentioned Psalm 149 last week, this beautiful psalm that talks about praising God in singing, in music, in dance. Psalm 149 in verse 1, it says, praise you, the Lord. Sing unto the eternal a new song and his praise in the congregation of saints. Praise the eternal. Sing unto the eternal a new song. Verse 2 says, let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let us rejoice in our maker. Let us rejoice in our history. Let us rejoice in our purpose for being. It says, let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and the harp. We saw some of this just yesterday. Two beautiful selections with the harp as well. Praise God in dance. Sing praises to God with the timbrel and the harp. We've noted before about King David's background in music and dance. We celebrate that history. We're resurrecting that culture, this new civilization. The psalm continues, verse 4, for the eternal takes pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory, verse 5 says. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Some were probably doing that yesterday. Watching the program on their computer, their laptop, or the big screen TV, wherever it was, sitting comfortably on their couch or their bed, singing along. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, it says, and the two-edged sword in their hand. You need both. You need both. You need the two-edged sword. You need the truth. You need to speak the truth. You need to have the courage to live by and to proclaim the truth. But like one of those viewers said, particularly in these last few months, well, it can be a little bit discouraging, and sometimes it can be a heavy burden to bear. But God says to you, you hold up that two-edged sword for sure. Hold that in your hand and let the high praises of God be in your mouth. Don't let that take away from your praising God. Bring high praise to God and all that he's doing. All that he's resurrecting. The restitution of all things. Acts chapter 3. It's coming. It's starting. It's here. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. We need both. I was going through lesson 24 yesterday from the correspondence course, and it makes this statement on page 6. The kingdom of God includes much more than bringing this world's governments under God's rule. I mean, that's part of it. All nations finally coming under the rule of God. But it's more than that, it says here. A completely new civilization will have to be built. You see, that's the thing. Every community, every state, every nation, it needs to be rebuilt. And that's why God is preparing us in the church. He's brought us into his family now so that we can submit to that government, that rule in our lives, and learn how to build for God. You look at all these verses in the Bible about the church being a building, Ephesians 2, and other passages. Well, right here in the Psalms, it says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it. God is building. And if you're following this church, if you're listening to this program, if you're following our concert series, if you're looking at the cultural foundation that we have, if you're reading the literature, if you're listening to the messages, you can see what it is that he's building. That's what makes it last and endure, if God builds it. We'll conclude today's program with this beautiful a cappella piece by Ryan and Paula Malone and Mark Jenkins as they sing, My Country, 'Tis of Thee.
Let all that breathe partake.